We're doing Netivot Shalom on Parshat Vayeshev, and we had seen the first section about the greatness of Yosef's test, and we had discussed that his test was the greatest possible test within the forces of nature, dafka on Shabbat, and on Shabbat he was given that great strength to overcome that great test. Now, the Netivot Shalom continues. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Vav, tells us in explanation of the verse, "Va'evo abayta la'asot melachto," Yosef came home to do his work. Dehainu shekvar nichna liyitzro, that when Yosef came home that day, he had already given in. That's it. He was coming home to do the avera. Va'amad la'asot avera. He came home with the intent, "I'm going to sin." That's what he came home for. Ela sheniret lo dmut yukno shel aviv, but he saw his father's vision, v'nitzol, and he was saved. Velichora, at first glance, hadavar soter, this seems to be in direct contradiction, lechol ma'amarei chazal, to all the sayings of chazal, hamafligim, that seem to go all out, begodel amidato shel Yosef panisayon, with the greatness of Yosef standing up to the test. Vechanizkar, she'ayam lo nikra bizchut Moshe v'Aaron v'shishim ribo Yisrael, and like we mentioned earlier, that the sea didn't split in the merit of Moshe, Aaron, 600,000 Jews, ela mikoch ha'ono shel Yosef, but rather from the strength of Yosef's coffin. The im kim'at nichshal, for if he almost sinned, v'rak d'mut yukno shel avo, shel aviv, min'ato min ha'avera, and the only thing that saved him from sin was that he saw the vision of his father, Mahi godel zchuto, what is the greatness of his merit? Ha'adifa al zchutam shel Moshe v'chol Yisrael, that his merit is greater than the merit of Moshe and all of Am Yisrael. Shenes hayam davka mipnei Arono, that the miracle of the sea was specifically because of his coffin. Od amru, furthermore, Chazal say in the Medrash Tanchuma, Yosef mishelo natnulo. Yosef was paid back of his own. Hainu kesachar al shamat banisayon. That is, as wages for his standing up to the test. So he got back. What did he get? He got better. He didn't get the master's wife. He got his daughter. He got Osnat. V'itasham. And over there, the Medrash says, shekibel sachar al hamachshava, that he got his wages for his thought. Shelo chashav ba'avera. He didn't think of sinning. And over the heart, that he didn't allow his heart to even, so to speak, be me'arher, have even thoughts of passing thoughts over sin. And if in truth he was so close to stumbling, and he was only saved because he saw his father's vision, why is it fitting to give him wages on that he didn't dwell on the thought of sin, nor did he let it pass as a passing thought? From here it would seem that he didn't have any thought, he didn't entertain the thought of sinning. Furthermore, the holy work Pri Haaretz asks on our parsha, "Shimken madua Yosef mechayev tarshayim." If so, that Yosef went into that house with the intent of sinning, and he was on the verge of sinning, but he saw his father's vision. Why is it that we say that Yosef is going to take the wicked to task? The only reason he held himself back was because he saw his father's vision. V'ulai kol arshayim, and maybe all the wicked, im haya nireh lehem kmochen diukno shel aviv, if when Al Capone is about to murder someone, he'd see his father standing there wagging a finger, maybe he also wouldn't murder the person. Maybe all the wicked would be able to contain themselves if they saw their father every time they were about to sin. Hayu nimneim melachto, maybe they too would rescind, they'd hold themselves back from sinning. U'bichlal, איך אפשר לומר על יוסף שהוא הצדיק יסוד עולם ומרכבה למידת יסוד? How could we say about Yosef that he is the tzaddik, the foundation of the world? He, on him rides the trait of the foundation of the world, שכמעט ונכשל בעבירה, that he almost sinned, אילולי דמות יוקנו של אביו שהצילתו מן העבירה, if not for the vision that he saw of his father that saved him from sin. ודוחק לפרש שכל הנידות לא סביר עלו כהי מנדאמר שעמד לחתו. And it's difficult to say that here all of these explanations don't hold that he was on the verge of sinning. ונראית לו דמות יוקנו של אביו. And these explanations don't go with that explanation, that he saw the vision of his father. Meaning, really, there are two explanations in Chazal. One explanation says that he came home to do his own business, and then she grabbed him. Another explanation says he came home to sin, he was about to sin, and he saw his father's vision. Now, all these other midrashim that say that the sea split in his merit, that Yosef got wages from his own, that Yosef is going to take the Rasham to task, it's difficult to say all these midrashim only go with that opinion that says that he wasn't about to sin. And that they really, that if he was about to sin, then we don't go with all of this. That's difficult to say. ויש לדבר העניין, so we could explain this concept, הנה ישנם גימל אופנים ביצר רע מתגבר על האדם. That there are three types of יצר הרע that come to overcome a person. ישנו היצר רע מתגבר באופן חד פעמי. There is a desire that overtakes a person on a one-time basis. שמפתה את האדם לעבירה מסוימת. That the desire tries to entice a person to a specific sin. וכל מטרתו להכשיר את האדם בעבירה זו. And the whole purpose of the Yetzer Hara is to try and get him to fall in this sin. ויש עוד יותר בחינות התגברות היצר רע שאינו מבטא את האדם לעבירה מסוימת. And then there's a type of Yetzer Hara that tries to overcome a person and he's not trying to get a person to do one avera, אלא מטרתו להשתלט עליו לגמרי. But the Yetzer Hara is trying to take full control of him. וכמסופר בחזל, and like חזל say about the Nazir that came from the south, that was very good looking, and he had beautiful curls, על הנזיר שבא מן הדרום, שהיה יפה עיניים וטוב רואי, וקבוצותיו סדורות לו טלטלים, ונסתכל בבועה שלו, and he took a look at his reflection in the water, ופחז עליו יצרו, ביקש לתודו מן העולם, and when he saw how good looking he was, his Yetzer Hara took control of him, and tried to cause him to sin and lose his world. שלא הזכיר כלל שבא יצר הרע לפתותו לעבירות. It doesn't say the Yetzer Hara tried to get him to do this sin or that sin or those sins or the other sins. אלא לתורדני מן העולם. He says, that Nazir told Rabbi Shimon, he said, the Yetzer Hara tried to completely wipe me out of the world. Meaning, המטרה לא הייתה לעבירות מסוימות. The Yetzer Hara wasn't trying to get him to do specific sins, אלא שפחז עליו יצר הרע להסיתו שימשך אחר יופי מראהו. But rather in general, to get into his beauty, to get into the materialistic aspects of the world. It was a general Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara wasn't telling him, I want you to do sin X, Y, or Z, but rather the Yetzer Hara was telling him, look at how good you look. Look at your looks. And trying to get him into a completely different lifestyle. It wasn't one aspect that the Yetzer Hara was trying to get him on. And once he gets him interested in his looks, he'll take control and push him out of the world. But there's a third level of Yetzer Hara. That's a Yetzer Hara that's not a private Yetzer Hara, but rather a Yetzer Hara that pertains to the Jewish people at large. That the Yetzer Hara comes to a great person among the Jewish people, שהוא בבחינת נשמה כוללת של כלל ישראל. That tzaddik, because he's so great, he's representative of the neshama of Am Yisrael, במטרה להפילו ברשתו, and tries to get him to fall in his net. שעל ידי זה יפיל את כל כלל ישראל ויגום להם ירידה, because he knows if he could only get him to fall, he'll get the Jewish people at large to fall, and cause them to go down. שהיצר הרע הזה מתגבר באופן שלגמרי מחוץ לדרך הטבע. That this Yetzer Hara overcomes in a way that is completely beyond the forces of nature. And that's what happened with Rav Amram Chasida, the story we discussed earlier in the week, that he was one of the holy people of the generation, and the Yetzer Hara came and took hold of him in an unusual fashion. And when Rav Amram Chasida overcame, that time that the Yetzer Hara gave him strength, that suddenly he picked up a ladder that 10 people couldn't lift. And he's climbing up that ladder and suddenly he gets hold of the Yetzer Hara and he swears, you get let go of me. And when the Yetzer Hara left, Nafak Minei Kiamuda Denura. The Gemara says, a pillar of fire came out of him. Amar Lei, and Rav Amram said to him, Chazi Dat Nura Vana Bisra, take a look, you're fire. I'm flesh, Vana Difna Minach, and I'm better than you. וחזינן שנתגבר עליו היצר רע באופן של אש. And we saw that the Yetzer Hara overtook him like a fire, שהוא יצר רע שלגמרי מחוץ לגדר הטבע. That's unnatural. והיינו שהייתה זו התגברות מיוחדת, that the Gemara is telling us this was an unusual style for the Yetzer Hara that he overtook him, לתודו לגמרי מן העולם על ידי עבירה זו. He wanted to completely kick him out of the world with this sin. או כמבואר, משום שהיה נשמה כוללת, or because he was one of the tzaddikim of the generation, his neshama was representative of the klal, וביקש היצר רע להפיל על ידי זה את כל כלל ישראל, and through this he wanted to bring everyone down. ולאור זה, and in light of this, יש לבאר בעניין הניסיון של יוסף. We could explain Yosef's test. שהיו בו בית חלקים. There were two aspects to the test. חלק אחד שהיה נוגע לו עצמו. One aspect pertained to Yosef himself. שביקש היצר רע לתודו מן העולם, the Yetzer Hara wanted to kick him out of the world. והשני, in the second aspect, שהיה נוגע לכלל ישראל, pertained to the general people of Israel. ואומנם על החלק שנוגע כלפיו, התגבר לגמרי בכוחות עצמו. When it came to Yosef himself, am I interested in this? Yosef overcame. That Yosef says, I'm not interested. ולא היה צריך לנראית לו דמות תוכנו של אביו. And for that, he didn't need the external help to see his father's vision. אכן, but, על חלק הניסיון הנוגע לכלל ישראל, when it came to the test, that pertained to all the Jewish people, to him representing that strength in Am Yisrael, זה היה ניסיון למעלה מכוחותיו. That was a test that was really beyond his strength. ועליו היה צריך לדמות תוכנו של אביו להצילו שיעמוד בזה. And for this test, that's where he needed that shot in the arm to see his father's vision to stand up to this test. So, there's a lot more, and we'll have to continue tomorrow. So we had said that all of Mitzrayim was buzzing about Yosef's, what Yosef had done. And so Hashem sotet that there was politics to talk about. Hashem sotet that the baker, he's the chief baker, he's an expert at what he does, and Paro takes a bite out of his cake or his bread or whatever it was, and there's a rock in the bread, so he gets very upset and he throws him into the dungeon. And then he's about to take a sip of his wine, and the guy who always used to bring Paro his wine, he's been trying to do his job faithfully, but there's a flea, some kind of fly, took a dive into the wine, and he sees a fly in his wine and throws him into the dungeon. So all of Mitzrayim is buzzing about the fly and the rock in Paro's food. What do we see in this story? We see that they're both thrown into the dungeon, and one of them is going to be the potential for Yosef leaving jail. What do our sages tell us happened with this story? Our sages tell us that this story was brought about because God wanted Mitzrayim to stop talking about Yosef. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that here we see an important rule in our perspective on life, on how the world works. We think that things are cause and effect. We think that, you know how Yosef got out of jail? Because the winemaker told the guy who used to bring Paro his wine, told him that Yosef answered his dream, and because he answered his dream, he could probably answer Paro's dream. And then they brought Yosef out, and he answered the dream, and Yosef was made viceroy of Egypt. But we have to know that in God's world, nothing has to happen. We are limited. If I want to take a drink, I have to bring the cup up to my lips, take a sip, I have a drink. In God's world, there's no cause and effect. God can make anything happen. If God wants, tomorrow morning, Paro could say, hey, let me take a tour of my dungeon. And then he walks into his dungeons and he sees a good-looking lad and says, hey, let me talk to you. How'd you get here? And then they'd have a nice conversation and Paro would say, I want you in my home and make him viceroy. It doesn't have to happen that this guy sits in jail and Yosef interprets his dream, and as a byproduct of that, Yosef comes out of jail. There is no cause and effect. Every moment in this world is its own entity. God makes things happen in this world. In the long term, God makes things happen. One thing causes another. But God doesn't have to have it work that way. So that when these people go to jail, our sages tell us, he didn't go to jail in order to get Yosef out of jail. He went to jail because at that moment, what did God want? God wanted people to stop talking about Yosef. So God gave him something else to talk about. Afterwards, God used it for something else to get Yosef out of jail, but that's not the reason he went to jail. So from Yosef's perspective, he comes out of jail and he looks back and he thinks, well, he was in jail because God sent him there as the emissary who would ultimately get me out. Wrong. He became the emissary that took him out. But we have to know that in this world, every moment is judged as its own moment. When there were the Oslo Peace Accords, so people said, that's a terrible thing, people will die. And I said, I don't know politics. I hear the logic that people will die. And I hear that people say it's a bad thing. But we have to know that there's a week now during their discussion that there's peace. That week is a gift from God. People were being killed beforehand, and then people stopped being killed, and then afterwards people were being killed again. But there was a week of quiet. I said, based on this, we know that God just gave us a gift. It's not that the Palestinians are quiet because they think it's worthwhile for them to have one peace or 1 week or 1 month or however long it was to have a hiatus before they start killing us again. It's that for whatever reason God decided now it should be quiet. It came to the world as a result of a bad deal between the state of Israel and the Palestinians. But we have to know from this parsha that every moment is its own judgment. We have to do our best to make things work well long term. We have to do our hishtadlut. But at the same time, we have to know that every minute that we're healthy, that things are good for us, that minute we were given a gift. Even if we know that in 2 minutes from now, things look differently. I'm sitting here and there's about to be a root canal. About to be a shot in the tooth. Fine. But this minute, I was given a gift. Every minute, we have to recognize the gift in that moment. Again, we have to work long term. We have to do our hishtadlut long term. But we also have to appreciate every moment for what it is. Yeah.
You said that God can do anything he wants and that he's above cause and effect. So why wouldn't God just think we'll stop one way? You said that he's not under this limitation, but then at the same time he's speaking to it.
That's true, but at that moment he wanted to stop it this way. He could have made it another way. God usually gives us natural causes. But the long-term cause, I'm saying in this moment, God made it that they'll stop talking due to this. You're right, God could have made something else happen. A comet could have landed in Egypt. Something else could have happened.
But, I mean, he could have just made them stop.
Right, but that God doesn't usually do. Meaning God doesn't usually intervene in our b'chira chofshit. God, when God does things in this world, he usually does it through natural means. But the long-term cause and effect, meaning on the moment, then God does things through natural ways. But the long term, well, that cause and effect doesn't have to happen. There are a million things that could happen in the way. On the short term, we say, yeah, that's how God did it. At bottom line, God did make Yosef come out of the jail through this guy. But that wasn't necessary. Meaning, we like to think, like, things have to be organized, so it's necessary for A to be there in order to lead to B. No, God could have made B happen without A. God wanted them to stop talking about Yosef. He could have done it in many ways. He chose to do it by putting them in jail. The long-term plan is not necessary. It ended up happening that way, granted. But that it's not that it was a necessary evil. For us to do things, there'd be a necessary evil. Let me get contacts with people in high places. For God, that's not necessary. So we have to remember that when we think about the way God runs the world and appreciate the moment. Meaning that's not to say we shouldn't do our long-term ishtadlut. Yosef wasn't a good position in that regard, that he was known by people in high places. But for God, it wasn't necessary. If it was supposed to happen, it would have happened anyways.
No, right.
Yeah.
Maybe Hashem gave them a palace scandal to replace the other palace scandal.
What's the other palace scandal?
I'm saying the whole thing with Yaakov, with Potiphar's wife, and the whole story.
Right.
And then he gave them now like another thing in the same name, so they would drop it.
That's what Chazal say.
Yeah.
That's what Chazal say, that was the purpose. So they're both in jail. And Yosef is serving them. And they both have dreams. And each one dreams his own dream. And each one dreams the interpretation to the other one's dream. So they sit there and they're both upset. And each one has shared with the other one their own dream. But neither one wants to reveal to the other one, hey, I have the interpretation to your dream. So they're sitting there both upset. And each one could resolve one another's problem. They're both upset by the dreams they've dreamt. But they're both mean people, and they don't help one another. There's an old joke that says, what's the difference between hell and heaven and perdition? Everyone's sitting in chains, and everyone has a good meal in front of them. and everyone cannot reach the food from the delicious food to their own mouth. In perdition, each one sitting there lamenting that there's beautiful food that they can't reach. And in heaven, each one takes the food and scoops it to the next one. Meaning each one could feed the next one. But if all you're focused on is feeding yourself, so you realize that your chain doesn't let you feed yourself. So in perdition, they're sitting there upset because they can't eat anything. And in heaven, they're sitting there feeding one another. So to an extent, that's what's happening to these two. They're sitting there and each one tells the other one their difficult dream. And each one knows the solution for the other one's dream. But no, that was part of their dream. Each one saw their own dream and the explanation to the other one's dream. But no one knows that the other one has the explanation for his own dream. And neither one wants to help the other one. So Yosef comes in and he has no external interest. He asks them, "Hey folks, you seem upset. What's going on?" Notice, Yosef wasn't only their servant. Yosef noticed what they looked like. Meaning, a person could be a doorman for 100 years and he'll remain a doorman. Or a person could be a doorman and when the boss comes in and he looks dejected, he asks him, "Hey boss, what's wrong?" Yosef says, "Hey boss, what's wrong?" And ultimately, on the pshat of things, that's what gets him out of it. If a guy is going to be the limousine driver for a big person, he could ask him what's wrong, he could befriend him, and he dabek lepashvu vidamelo. If you come close to a person that's big, then you'll be like him too. He'll move you up the ranks. So Yosef sees that they're upset, and he asks them, "Why do you guys look bad today?" And they tell him, "We had a dream and no one here has an explanation for us." So Yosef says, "You know what? God is the one that explains dreams. Tell me, please." So the one who's in charge of giving drinks, he's the first one to have faith in Yosef. He tells Yosef, "Here's my dream. I had a grapevine before me. The grapevine had 3 branches. It blossomed. And I was holding the cup of Paro on my hand." From here the Kabbalists say when we do Kiddush, we should always hold it on the palm of our hand, the way he describes it. We're not Kabbalists, you don't have to do it. If you want to do it, make sure if you're a guest and there's a white tablecloth, you don't spill on the tablecloth. Don't do chumras at the expense of the host. But the Kabbalists say that you should have it on the palm of your hand. Okay. So I took the grapes and I squeezed them into Paro's cup and I placed the cup on Paro's palm. And Yosef tells him the three branches represent 3 days. In 3 days, Paro will replace you on your position. And again, you will give him the cup like you always had. Do me a favor, remember me when things go good for you. And do kindness with me. Mention me to Paro and take me out of this house. Because I was stolen from the land of the Hebrews. And here I've done nothing wrong that they put me in this pit. And now the baker, when he sees that Yosef's giving a good explanation, that he gave a good explanation in his dream, he knew that was the correct explanation. He was told that. So now that he sees that, he says to Yosef, "I too had a dream. And in my dream, there were 3 baskets on my head. And on the top basket was all kinds of delicious baked goods, and the bird was eating it off my head." So the baker sees that it's worthwhile. Take one slice each. The baker sees that it's worthwhile to tell Yosef the dream. He's giving good explanations, and we know that a dream goes after the interpretation that's given. So the baker tells him, "I also had a dream. 3 baskets were on my head, and on the top basket I had all kinds of good baked goods for Paro, and the bird was eating it off the top basket." And Yosef tells him the 3 baskets represent 3 days. In 3 days, Paro will lift your head off of you. He's going to hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat your flesh. How does Yosef know this interpretation? So there's a beautiful pshat from the Magid Miduvna. The Magid Miduvna says that there was once a king that hired artists to make the nicest painting they could paint. And then they had a contest to see which painting was the nicest. And they're going painting by painting, and this one's beautiful, and that one's beautiful. And finally they reach one painting where the artist painted a merchant in the marketplace who's selling his wares, and He has on his head, he has a basket filled with delicious fruit. And he has this beautiful big painting. And as they're all admiring the painting and how real the fruit looks, a bird comes and starts pecking, trying to eat from the fruit that's in the painting. So the artist says, "You see what a great painting I painted? Even the bird thinks that the fruit are real." And the artist thinks he's going to win the prize. So another artist who is standing nearby says, "Wait a second. Your fruit, you painted nicely. But if you would have painted the human nicely, then the birds would have been scared to come near the fruit. You see, you didn't paint the human in a realistic fashion." So the Magen Duvna says, that's what happened in our parsha. If the birds are on top of his head pecking from the bread, then that's an indication that he is not around to scare the birds. So that's how Yosef knew that he would be hung. So Yosef tells him, in 3 days you'll be hung and the birds will be pecking you. And 3 days later, it's Paro's birthday, the one time we overtly see a birthday in the parsha. He makes a party and he looks over his accounts and he re-examines things and he says, well, the fly could have dunked into my drink a second before he gave it to me. Could be he was careful enough, but how could he control whether a fly jumps into the wine? But if there was a rock in my bread, then he obviously was negligent. He should have sifted the flour better. And so he hangs the baker and reinstates the guy who brings him the wine. And the guy who brings him the wine doesn't remember Yosef on that day when he's reinstated. And even a while later, he never remembers Yosef until, and that's where next week's parsha will begin.